Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us. You know, I know for me, my mom is aging, and I had to have the talk with my mom, okay? She's in her 70s, I'm in my 50s, but this happened some 20, 30 years ago when the talk began to happen. And the talk I'm talking about is finances, retirement, you know, long-term care, short-term care, all of that stuff. Today, Suzanne Schmidt, she's Vice President of Family Engagement for Private Client Group, Fidelity Investments, is here to talk about a study, the Intra-Family Generational Finance Study. Good morning to you, Suzanne.
Good morning. Thank you for having us.
Have you had to have that talk with your parents?
I have, and I love the way you characterize it as the talk, or lots of people will call it the other talk. And what you described, you know, first of all, good for you for taking it on, and would that more people did so. And a big part of the reason why we do this study is to really give people that nudge, more people to take the steps that you've already taken with your mom, to have the conversation about, you know, what our parents have done, what they want, so that it's not just about, you know, kind of a wealth transfer conversation, it's about a values transfer conversation, and get the word out that, you know, it's not always going to be easy, but the important thing is to do it. And if we do it, we're all going to feel just a whole lot more peace of mind.
You know, my mom started trying to have the talk with me in my 20s, and I was not ready. I was like, the thought of you not being here, not a good thought for me. So, you know, as I got into my 30s and I understood things a little bit more, then we were able to really, you know, talk about those things. And I've even sat down with a wealth management person with her, and we did all of that together, and it was not hard at all. And I kind of think, Suzanne, it depends on your relationship with your parents.
Oh, gosh, it absolutely does. And, you know, I think what you mentioned about your mom initiated it, you know, in your 20s, you felt like it was too soon. You know, for lots of us in our 20s, we really don't have a lot of life experience that's going to help us have kind of a be able to accept it, but more importantly, have a meaningful conversation with our parents. But like you said, as we get older, we get into our 30s or our 40s, we have more life experience. I think, unfortunately, we see that life is uncertain and things can happen quickly.
Absolutely.
Health can change quickly. And so it creates more of a sense of urgency, I think, and we would hope for more families to take the steps that you did. And I think, you know, you talked about having really specific conversations. That is so absolutely critical, particularly around not just the savings and the investment, but what steps our parents, our older loved ones have taken, particularly around planning for longevity and planning to get care as they get older. And I think one of the things we learned from this year's study is our families, we talk to adult children as well as their parents, they're not on the same page around roles and responsibilities, perhaps not surprisingly, especially around caregiving. They're not on the same page around timing. So you talked about being in your 30s when you kind of had the conversation with your mom. What lots of the families that we talked to said, you know, 38% of adult kids and 35% of parents said, you know, the right time to start having these conversations is after the parents are retired, but before they have some sort of a health event or some sort of a financial crisis. And I'm calling that out because what you did was super smart. You had the conversation early. It sounds like your mom was healthy. You were in a good space. And so you were able to have that series of conversations without feeling rushed and without having to make decisions kind of on the fly. And then to your point around meeting with the wealth planner, that gave you a chance, I suspect, to talk about key documents, things like a will or a trust or an estate plan, healthcare proxy. And you know what we learned from the study this year is that 3 in 10 families, they don't agree that their kids could actually find those key documents when they're going to need them. So I think what we're trying to highlight, and certainly what your experience shares, is having the conversation early while everybody's still healthy and has time to make decisions, maybe having conversations plural so you get through all those key decision points, and having the conversation as often as you need to. Those are all ingredients to having just a much better outcome and making sure that families are in a good way, that they're, you know, they have good relationships, that they're not at each other's throats, and that they have a chance to digest what's been done and be prepared to act.
Because Lord knows what death brings out the terrible things in families. And so having that already done, and I'll tell you, Suzanne, my mom and I are still having these conversations. She's in her 70s, and we just had a conversation about one of those things last week. So we're still having that conversation. But here's the funny thing. We were trying to have a conversation. I have two younger brothers. And you know what they said? Oh, well, we're not going to worry about it. Twana's going to take care of all of that.
Oh.
I know.
Oh, gosh. Well, you know, obviously, you're the responsible sibling in the family, and your family recognizes that. But I think what you're getting at is very
Yeah.
real, and that is, you know, not all siblings burden or share the burden equally.
That's right.
And so perfect outcomes may not be attainable, but to the extent that you took the steps to have the conversations early with your mom, at a minimum, she knows that you know what she wants
mm-hmm.
and where things are.
I do.
That's really critical. And, you know, had you maybe made the assumption or she made the assumption that your brothers were going to carry some of that burden and some of that decision making, you know, knowing that maybe they're not ready to do that or they're not prepared
mm-hmm.
and they're looking to you, at least knowing that beforehand will prevent emergency decisions from being made. You may be assuming that you can rely on them when they're just not able to step into that role. So not to trivialize that conversation, because we know that that happens and not all siblings are equally responsible, but knowing that going in at least will help you and your mom prepare so that you are in a position where you can do what she wants and maintain the good relationship it sounds like you have with her, and also, frankly, not to be at odds with your siblings.
You know, and I think that this is such a great conversation to have early, get it all out, do what you need to do, because when mom or dad is gone and there's no plan in place, it's chaos. Am I right?
Absolutely. And unfortunately, lots of people find themselves in that position, or they make assumptions because, frankly, assumptions are just sometimes more comfortable.
Mm.
And they find out the hard way that critical plans weren't put in place, or if the plans were put in place, they can't get their hands
right.
on them. So what we want to try to do is help more families realize there is no perfect time, there is no perfect place. Start where you are. Take advantage of the fact that lots of families will go on vacation or get together for barbecues over the summer,
mm-hmm.
and just start. You alluded to this, but it's multiple conversations. And something as simple as acknowledging when you're together as a family, you know, you look around, you see who's not there anymore, people who have passed away.
Mm-hmm.
It's a chance for parents to start talking with their kids, or vice versa in your case, about, you know, what happened when that person
mm-hmm.
passed away
mm-hmm.
and what did they do really well? You know, what do you want to remember about their life and the plans that they made? And maybe where were there some gaps where people found out the hard way? And you take that as a jumping off point to say, we want to repeat the good stuff, but we don't want to repeat
exactly.
the bad stuff. How do we make sure that we're not in that position?
Exactly. We my grandmother is still alive. She's 89. So we've all had to have that conversation, gone over the wheels. You know, we have everything in place. So I'm so glad about that. Where can folks go to get more information about the Intrafamily Generational Finance Study?
Yeah, so to learn more about the study as well as to get access to some of those resources around, you know, having the conversation and what does a complete plan look like, they can go to fidelity.com/families.
All right. Phenomenal. Great time to talk about it. Suzanne Schmidt, VP, Family Engagement for Private Client Group Fidelity Investments. Thank you so much for all you do.
Thank you. Thank you.